So many of you may recall from past homilies that I've given that my conversion, sort of taking my Catholic faith seriously, happened shortly after I was confirmed, so junior in high school. And so then my senior year in high school, me along with a few other friends, usually non-Catholics, I would go to Perkins, because Perkins was open 24 hours a day, and we were high school kids, we never slept, you know. And so we'd go into one of the back rooms there at the Perkins in Brainerd, have some coffee, and discuss various theological conversations. And one particular one really stuck in my mind. One of my friends, a Protestant, was talking about the rapture, you know, where people all of a sudden disappear, you know, they're taken up and others are left behind. And he asked me what I thought about that, and I said, oh yeah, Catholics don't believe in the rapture. He's like, what? Catholics don't believe in the rapture? Just shocked. And maybe you're shocked too. Catholics don't believe in the rapture, in case you were wondering. But the reality is no Christians believed in the rapture until the year 1830, when a man by the name of John Derby came up with this theological concept. So it's really actually a very modern concept. And we might say, well, but I've read those Left Behind books, and they were so convincing. Well, yeah, they were just books. And we might say, but, well, Father, but what about the gospel we heard today? It clearly is talking about the rapture, right? And what about all these other readings that I've heard about Jesus talking about where people just disappear? What's going on? It must be the rapture. How did Christians deal with this concept for over 1,800 years without ever calling something the rapture, without ever talking about people actually disappearing and people being left behind? The concept that we're dealing with here today is not the rapture, but rather what we focus on this Advent. Being prepared for the coming of Christ. Jesus gives this parable to us to remind us that we do not know when the Son of Man will come again. And this is what we celebrate in Advent, the coming of Christ. And so Jesus makes it actually very clear that he's not simply talking about people disappearing by first prefacing it with Noah and the flood. What does he say? At the time of Noah, people were eating, drinking, being married, and being given in marriage. And then the flood came. And they didn't know it was going to come. And it was too late. So Jesus talked about eating, drinking, married, being given in marriage, just to say people were living their lives. People were normally living their lives, doing their thing. Some were worshiping God, some weren't. Some were trying to live a holy life, some weren't. And then the flood came. And so it will be with the coming of the Son of Man. People will be eating, drinking, marrying, giving, given in marriage. In other words, people will be living their lives. People will be living for God. Some people won't be living for God. Some people will strive to live for holiness. Some people will be sinning. And we won't know when the Son of Man will come again. And so he cautions us to always be prepared. You might say, well, Father Seth, you know, it's 2016. You know, we know Jesus died somewhere around the year 33. When is he going to come again? I mean, he's probably not even going to come again in my lifetime. Do I really need to worry about this? Well, maybe he won't come again in our lifetime. But when we die, we will meet Christ. And so whether the second coming happens in our lifetime or not is sort of irrelevant, because we're going to meet Christ, and we don't know when that is going to be. And so we must always be prepared, always vigilant, always trying to live for Christ and not for ourselves. And this is why St. Paul is constantly writing to those communities today, to the Romans, saying, look, turn away from sin and turn toward Jesus. This isn't because Paul had this ego trip and he's just like, I'm the best, look at me, do everything I do. If you do that, you're the best. No. He wasn't just trying to lord things over people either. Paul talked about avoiding sin so much, and he talked to his communities about trying to live for Christ so much because he knew what it was like to have a conversion to Jesus. He knew our Lord so well. And he also remembered what it was like when he was fighting against Jesus, when he was condemning Christians to death. And he remembered what that conversion was like. Now he lived for Jesus. And he wanted everybody else to understand that same joy, to experience the love of Jesus Christ fully in their lives. And this is why Paul is always telling the communities, turn away from your sin and turn towards the Lord. What does he say? Make no provision for the desires of the flesh, but put on our Lord Jesus Christ. This isn't just some flowery admonition. This isn't just Paul saying, all right, stop doing this, do this. It gets very practical with Jesus. He knows we're weak, and so he gives us the sacraments. So first of all, baptism. Baptism wipes away original sin and then any personal sin that we may have. This is why, as Catholics, we say it's so important to even have children baptized, because this makes them members of the body of Christ. This wipes away original sin. This gives them great hope in our Savior's love for heaven. But then we know, as kids grow up, that they sin. And even as adults, if you were an adult that was baptized, you not only were forgiven original sin, but also your personal sin any time up to that point. But then we know, too, because we live lives, that even after baptism, we sin. And so what is this? Some sort of a trap? It's not. Jesus doesn't just forgive our sins in baptism and say, oh, well, you really shouldn't have sinned after that. Too bad. He gives us another sacrament, the sacrament of reconciliation, so that even after baptism, when we sin, we have a way to be forgiven again. We have a way to be made as white as snow, just as we were at our baptism, through the sacrament of reconciliation. And then after we receive that sacrament, to receive him in the Eucharist, so that as he takes away our sins in confession, he fills us back up with his grace in the sacrament of the Eucharist. Brothers and sisters, this Advent is a wonderful time to turn back to Jesus. It's a wonderful time because we are looking towards the second coming of our Lord. And we do not know when he will come again, and we do not know when we will meet him again, because we do not know when we will die. Come back to the Lord. Come back to his mercy and confession. Whether it's been weeks, months, years, or decades, Jesus is waiting for you. He will never say, nope, it's been too long. Sorry, you lost your chance. He will never say, no, you did what? You can't be forgiven for that. No, Jesus won't say that either. Jesus will only come to you in love when you approach him humbly in the sacrament of reconciliation. Brothers and sisters, Jesus wants to transform our lives, and he can do it if we let him in the sacraments. We see today in the book for the prophet Isaiah this image, and it almost just looks like maybe it's an image of the cross, right? On this holy mountain, the Lord will come, he'll rule, we'll have peace, it'll be great. It looks like it's an image of the cross, you know, on the hill of Calvary, and it is that. It's a prophecy. As we dig a little deeper, we might say, you know what? It's also an image of heaven, because there will be no more wars. We will be at peace. We will all worship the Lord in unity. Yeah, it's that too. It's an image of heaven. But it's also for us right now. It's God calling us to himself, asking us to come to him in worship, asking us to proclaim his name to everyone we meet, asking us to come to him, asking him how we should live. Brothers and sisters, if this can be our prayer, if we can actually approach the Lord faithfully and say, Lord, I don't know how to live. Teach me how to live. Show me how to live. The sacrament of reconciliation will no longer be something we fear. It'll no longer be something we're estranged from. It'll no longer seem something odd, or why would we do it? Because we will know God's laws. And we will know that when we transgress them, when we fail, because guess what all of us do? That God has given us a way back. Let's take advantage of the Lord's grace, because he wants us to live with him forever in heaven. Let's take advantage of the sacrament this Advent, and then receive him fully in the Eucharist. Receive that grace that we can only receive fully when our hearts are prepared through the sacrament of reconciliation, so that we can live for him every day of our life. So then we will no longer fear death. We will no longer fear the end of time. We will joyfully greet the Lord whenever it is he calls us home, whenever it is he comes again, because we will be filled with his grace, ready to meet him at his coming.